Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is another Saturday morning when we talk car, your truck, your van that might have a few issues. And before you bring it in for service, you kind of might want to know what could be ailing before you walk in that door, drive through that service bay. Now, if you're new to the show, thanks for joining us. We do this every Saturday morning thanks to the help we get from ASC certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul, although Grand Avenue might be a little wet this morning. Good morning, Nick. Happy New Year.
Yeah, good morning, Danny. Happy New Year to you also.
And, a whole another busy year coming along for Lloyd's Automotive, I'm sure. Who would have expected 41 degrees is what we're looking at again today. We have about 3 days it will be with the temperature around 40, 41. Unbelievable. Although that saved a lot of people headaches, certainly during this holiday season driving. But we did get a text earlier. In fact, I should throw out the for the new listeners, if you want some free advice, why don't you call or text Nick this morning? And keep in mind, sooner rather than later, because Nick will take his leave about 7:45. So don't wait. Any kind of a car care question you may have. If you drive and have problems, call us. With your car, that is. 651-461-9226. Nick may be a therapist on certain levels, but we'll try to stick to cars and trucks and vans this morning. A question from a listener, and I think it's a good one, about hearing the temperature. Snow tires, is this weather going to be too warm, too hard on them?
No, that's a question we get. You know, usually in the fall, people start to ask, like, when should I put them on? You know, everybody wants to be the last one the day before it snows, and you can't ever predict that, as we know. So, you know, once the temperature, you know, you get that late November or mid-November, I should say, the road temperature, the air temperature is getting to the 50s, the 40s, 30s, and so forth. I would say you're fine. You know, it's usually really those summer months. You know, it's not, obviously the ambient heat, but also the road heat. You know, as the pavement heats up on those summer days, it gets into the 90s, 100 degrees. That's what really kind of wears those tires out. So once you get into the late fall, you're fine. This weather that we're having here now will have no effect on them. You know, the ground's still probably mostly frozen as it is. I'm sure the top surface of the asphalt might be warmed up a bit, but as you saw the forecast, it'll be a day or two, it'll be back cold again. So I wouldn't hesitate or be worried about it at all.
Yeah, Nick, you're right. I was looking at that forecast, and I think by the midweek, we're only going to get up like New Year's Day. We might hit 22 overnight low. In fact, we'll be in the single digits by Thursday night. So, yeah, that should relieve any concern about your winter tires or snow tires. Call us, text us, 651-461-9226. Text came in, said this: is it common to have battery cables come loose? Last week my car was dead, and it was the result of loose cables. How does this happen, is the first question. Would this also cause the check engine light to come on? They have a 2019 Nissan Altima and got a new battery this past April. They love the show. Thank you for that. What do you think of those issues with loose cables First of all, how does that happen, and would it cause the check engine light to come on?
You know, it's important when we replace a battery, and if it's the top post is what this is referring to, you know, a battery cables are installed one of two ways. Either there's a top post that the clamp kind of squeezes, or it mounts from the side where it kind of engages the side with a bolt, essentially. The top post style, what we're talking in this example here, we have to be careful when we install the new battery that we loosen the cable enough, not just to get it off the old battery, but to get it fully seated back onto the new battery. With it fully seated, if we properly torque that nut to have that clamp squeezed tight, it should be fine. A lot of times what we will see, because I've seen this before, is that the cable's on but not fully seated, and it's snugged up, but with vibration and movement and temperature changes, it starts to kind of work its way loose slowly, and then you end up with a situation like this where you have a cable coming loose. It is possible you could get a strange voltage-type code for the check engine light, also related to the same thing. A lot of times we'll see, though, when the cable comes loose that the battery becomes disconnected, so then the computer system loses that power, and a lot of times they'll clear the code. So obviously get the cables reinstalled, scan the computer, see what may be stored there. If it is some sort of voltage code, I would just reset that and proceed forward and see if you see any changes coming in the next few days.
Nick, is there any, I'm thinking ahead about cleaning a battery, the posts, or some kind of maintenance. Should a car owner do that, even a small do-it-yourself kind of job? Is there some maintenance, or do we just leave it alone?
Yeah, well, for the most part, you can likely leave it alone. If you do start to see a lot of corrosion or build up that foamy stuff, that chalky stuff on the ends of the cable, you can take a brush and try to scrape it off a little bit. We'll use like baking soda and water. But just keep in mind that you're pouring that. It's going to end up somewhere too. So if you don't want your garage floor wet, or if you don't want some area wet, you know, maybe don't do that. Have it done when you bring it in for service. If you have the tooling and you really want to get into it, you can disconnect the cables, clean them. You know, a lot, there's those terminal cleaners. You can do that also. There's some of the protector stuff that you can spray on there. We don't do a lot of that. We prefer just to get things really good and clean when we install a new battery. And usually that's the trick that needs to be done. You know, a lot of that other stuff maybe sometimes adds a little more gunk to the area. So if you're seeing a lot of that corrosion when you have your hood open, next time you're in, have them test the battery, number one. If it's starting to gas like that, it might be starting to become near the end of its life, so you might need a replacement there. And number two, just make sure that the cables are installed properly so that gassing doesn't create any corrosion.
Nick, when you and I were talking a couple of weeks ago, maybe it's 3 weeks ago, about the colder weather, and there was a concern on your part that everybody was going to be calling you at once wanting a new battery. Well, with these moderating temperatures, has that worry kind of been brushed aside? I mean, have the customers been coming in at a nicer, easier, evenly rate for new batteries?
Well, My not just batteries, but tires. You know, we were really worried last winter. It never really snowed much, and it was very moderate. And the same thing, you know, it's the extreme temperatures, you know, the cold temperatures where we see the failure of the battery. But we didn't have a very hot summer either, which is really stressful on the battery, which kind of creates the problem that we see in the winter. So I would say we've had a nice uptick, yes. And I think that we were able to take care of most people that were trying to travel for the holidays. And I think that, you know, once it gets cooler again this week, we'll see another wave of it. But luckily, we didn't get so backlogged that we couldn't help people. So I guess the weather was just right.
Perfect. Hang on, Nick. We're going to take a bit of a break here. If you have any kind of a car care question, you don't have to be some motorhead or gearhead to ask some detailed question. If you have problems with your vehicle, call us or text us before Nick leaves us, which is about 7:45 this morning, so our time goes by so quickly. Call or text. Here's the number for either, 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities area, officially, we have 36 degrees. We're heading for 41 today. We'll see near 38 degrees tomorrow. And for New Year's Day, looking ahead, we're going to get up to 22. So definitely cooling off. 36 now from News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show here every Saturday. Thanks to ASE certified technician Nick Stoffel, who runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, again, we always get new listeners, and we appreciate that. But folks who may want the help from you and your crew, how do we find you guys?
Yeah, if you do have a question, don't hesitate to call. We can always try to give you some advice before you take it in. Our number is 651-228-1316. And if you're ever down on Grand Avenue in St. Paul, we're at 982 Grand. Stop and say hi. And then finally, do check out our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
We do that often, and we'll give you that information before Nick leaves us, which is about 7:45. So if you have any kind of a car question, let's hear from you sooner rather than later, like we like to say. 651-461-9226. Here's a text that we didn't get to last week, and I see our listener was kind enough to shoot us another one. Can the all-wheel drive go out? The texter has a 2014 Dodge Journey, had new tires put on, and was unhappy with the way they handled in the snow, so had them replaced with different tires, and were somewhat better, but still handles different. Could it be just in rear-wheel drive? Could something have happened when they put on my new tires? Replaced all four tires, by the way.
I don't think it's likely something happened to the all-wheel drive by installing the tires, but there are some vehicles where that transfer case or the all-wheel drive unit can fail. There's a slipping mechanism in there that needs to allow some slipping so the tires can rotate at different speeds as we turn so we don't have any binding. There could be a failure within that, but typically if there is a failure, we lose the rear wheels and we have just a front-wheel drive vehicle. So I think it's fair enough to take it into the shop. They can raise the vehicle in the air simply and put, make sure it's an all-wheel drive and get the vehicle going on driving in the air and see how all the four tires are behaving and see if they notice any kind of issue with one of the wheels not rotating or something slipping in there. But I would probably have it looked at before we get more snow.
It's a question we get quite often, maybe not every week, but oil filters, is there a difference in quality? Like the texter one, you go into a auto parts store and they look up, what air filter or oil filter, whatever the filter may be. I guess the question is, their final question was, is original equipment always a better idea or the best idea? Or do they make pretty good, let's just stick with oil filters in this case.
That's a good question. And I would say, the most comfortable thing to do is buy the original equipment. Sometimes the pricing can be a bit much on depending on the manufacturer. I think a good quality aftermarket filter is even possibly likely made by the same manufacturer. So we do a lot of research on our end. We have the filters out of the vehicle. We can see the stamping and the branding on them. Sometimes there's a sequence you can kind of get familiar with and see what brand they are. We try to use the best that we can, something similar. But when you go to the parts store, there's going to be like a good, better, best. Depending on the vehicle, it's a brand new vehicle, you probably want to make sure you get something a little bit higher quality. I would probably veer away from ever buying the really low or inexpensive filter. That oil filter does so much for the engine, collecting on that debris and keeping the oil clean that, it's just another dollar or two to get the better one. It's well worth that investment. You don't want to run the risk of having a problem later down the road. And you might not notice on the one oil change, but you get in a bit of a habit of doing that. After a few oil changes, you might start seeing some more oil, not necessarily consumption, but some sludge and some buildup. The oil's not as clean as it used to be, and I think that can be remedied by a good oil change interval, number one, and using good quality oil and filter.
Okay. Let's see. Where are we? We're getting more as we talk. You're going to have to help me with this one. Somebody wants to, if one replaces a car's 12-volt battery, do OBD2 memory savers work reliably? I think that's a scan tool, is it not?
I think what they're referring to is some vehicles, when you disconnect the battery, you'll lose a lot of like the presets or the clock and some of those things. There's some products out there that you can plug into that connector, that diagnostic connector, that can kind of keep a 12-volt battery source there just to keep everything saved. Now, there's some vehicles where that's irrelevant and you can just swap out the battery and there's enough memory or enough capacitors that saves all that information. There's times when we would actually use like one of our little jump packs attached to the cable so we don't ever lose the 12 volts, so you don't have to lose the memory. So some of those products do work. If we have a vehicle where we're concerned about losing the presets or some sort of security code, we'll actually use one of our jump packs, attach that to the cable, so when we remove the cables from the battery, we never lose power. And it's a little deep there, but you know, there's, you know, tricks of the trade, I guess. And if you want to try one of those products, by all means, if you have good luck with it, you know, you can save it in your toolbox for the next time. But I just, I would, the only way you'll know is by trying it out, I guess.
Very good. This one we have to correct, Nick. 2017 Chevy Silverado radio keeps scanning radio stations by itself. We got to put a stop to that. What can this texter do?
Well, I suspect it's something with the antenna or the connection with the antenna. You know, if the antenna, the exterior antenna itself is broken away or loose, you know, you can check to make sure it's tight, you know. But, you know, anything deeper than that's probably not something the listener can do. What we would do is we'd try to, you know, start with that, to be exactly honest, and then find where the antenna feeds its way back into the radio, make sure we have good connection. If we have a good connection with the antenna, there might be something within the radio itself. Typically, radios aren't repairable for the most part. You end up having to get a replacement one. But before I do that, just very carefully make sure the antenna is tight and properly installed.
All right. I'll tell you what let's do. Let's take a break for weather and see what the new year brings weather-wise, and invite our listeners to join in. We still have about 15 minutes of the show to go, so don't wait. Any kind of a car care question, you can call Nick if you want to chat. That'd be great, or if you just want to send a text, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830 WCCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We have a few remaining minutes of it. Our time goes by so quickly. Denny Long here, along with ASC certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive, answering those questions as usual. Let's grab a phone call. Nick, Will, hanging on the line, calling in from Zimmerman, I believe, this morning. Thank you, Will. What is your question for Nick?
Yeah, I've got a 2013 Mercedes, and when we had that cold snap, I think it was below zero out here, the car started fine. The kid drove it up to the house, maybe 300 feet, shut it off right away, didn't leave it run, went out an hour later, and my God, the car was running real rough. Check engine light came on, and we thought it might go away, but it didn't. So we parked it in the shed again and took a different vehicle. The next day it kind of warmed up, and everything, the check engine light went away, and it's running just fine. Is that something, you know, when it's real cold, you should let your car warm up before you shut it off? What do you think was going on there?
Well, my thought is that maybe it slightly flooded. And what I mean by that is if the spark plugs have become worn and we're not burning all that fuel, you know, you fire the vehicle up and you move it just a few feet, and you shut the vehicle back off, it never really had a chance to get into closed loop, which is kind of where the car's computer system is satisfied and things are kind of operating as they should. Now, I don't want to, you know, people to think they need to let the car sit and run outside if they're just going to move it. But on a very cold day, I think it's probably best to let it, you know, take it for a short drive at least before you just start it and stop it, because you can run the risk you have too much fuel that's on in those cylinders that hasn't burnt off, and it essentially kind of floods it a little bit. So when you go back out and you have a little excess of fuel, you're trying to fire the vehicle up, and it's laboring to kind of clear its throat, essentially. And then, you know, it might start or it might not start. And in your case where it did start, it's running real rough because it can't kind of clear itself out. You got it back in the shed. It sat overnight. It warmed up. Things kind of dissipated a bit, things evaporated a bit, the spark plugs dried up a bit, and the car fired up just fine. So two things. Yes, I think if it's going to be super cold, you don't want to be starting stopping in just a few moments. And the second thing I would say for you, next time that vehicle's in for service, have them look at those spark plugs, see how worn they are, because we'll see that oftentimes where the spark plugs are worn, we're not getting a good clean spark, so we can't burn that fuel at that extreme temperature.
Very good. Here's a 2023 Honda Pilot. Texter says, last week and the day after our 5-inch snow, we made a round trip to Iowa and back. There was a stiff wind that day. In the return trip, we heard something that sounded like a piece of plastic fall. Sounded like it was on the passenger side floor. I looked all around, saw nothing. Shortly after this occurred, very cold air was coming through the floor vents on the passenger side. We had to turn the air to recirculate the interior air to avoid letting cold outside air into that passenger compartment. I'm wondering, Texter says, what might have happened. My husband thinks it might have something to do with the cabin filter. what might have happened there.
That's what I was thinking, too. I'm not sure how the duck on that particular vehicle is, but I think it's fair enough to say that maybe we find where the cabin filter's installed. Most cases, it's up under our feet on the passenger side. Make sure it's all properly installed, because if something did come loose there, you might be diverting air unintentionally, so you're getting cold air where you don't want it. But yeah, I think that's worth a visual inspection. The key there is that they told us that once it moved to recirc, it was fine. So I would get up underneath, you know, get the flashlight, maybe a mirror, kind of look to figure out, Google to see where that cabin filter is located, and then see if everything looks as it should. I suspect you're going to find a piece of the plastic or trims out of place.
Listener wants to know, if you get a blowout or a flat tire, how long can you drive in the spare?
If you're asking that question, probably gone too long. You know, it says temporary spare. Do not go over 50 miles an hour. We see people on the road with those. That's dangerous. That's not designed to be driven more than, you know, I don't know what the distance is. I'm not going to comment on the distance. But honestly, I think its purpose is to get you off the road and get you a place to get your other tire replaced or repaired. So
yeah,
it's not meant to be a means of transportation.
It's not a replacement, yeah. Friend had a check engine light on, texter says. Catalytic converter code. The mechanic gave some type of cleaner for it. Will that really clean a catalytic converter?
You cannot fix a car out of a can. That being said, there are some agents that can help prolong some stuff. You know, I assume what that product is trying to do is clean all the carbon off. So if there's some sort of restrictions, can help with that. But I would be careful with, before I jump to just assuming that I'm going to put a chemical in there, because that sometimes can create more problems. I would do the testing to make sure the code alone does not mean the converter is bad. There are inputs to the computer system that makes the computer think that it is. So things like oxygen sensor, air fuel ratio sensors should be tested to see if, in fact, if the sensors are working properly, that we know that the converter has failed and we're not getting a misread because we have a bad sensor. So I would do a little more research and a few more tests before I would assume that the converter is bad. And as always, I'd be very careful with any chemical, whether it's for that or some sort of lubricant or some sort of fix-all. I'd just be very careful because inadvertently sometimes you can create a bigger problem for yourself.
Okay. Listener sent this text. My daughter just bought a first car, and I got her a jump pack in case the battery dies, as it is a used car. The directions say connect direct to the battery to jump. I was always taught to use a proper ground. Is it different with a jump pack, is the question.
No, it's the same, and it depends on the battery, the location of everything. I would like to see you use that different ground mounting spot. You know, you'll see, or if you look in the owner's manuals, we always reference, it'll identify those spots for you. And I think part of the problem there is that, you know, you're less likely to have any arcing at the battery when you connect the negative terminal to the battery from the jump pack. The concern is that if you have the battery's gassing, if the battery's gotten really aged and wore down, and there's a little gas there with that spark, you could create a little bit of a situation there. So that's very rare, so I wouldn't be overly worried about that. But make sure you follow procedure, read the instructions. A jump pack's a wonderful gift. You just have to remind her now to keep it charged. That's the other problem that we see, that people have them. They're in their trunk, and you forget about them, and then when you need it, it's not charged, so
there's no juice there. All right, we're almost out of time. Here's a good question. Texter says, I keep all my car service records, but I wonder if you do too. I think they mean if Lloyd's. In other words, if I've been there before, would you be able to look back at my previous visits?
Yes, and I would say most all shops do. If you get any kind of computer invoice, not a handwritten invoice. And even the handwritten voices people might store, but it's a little harder to track. But yeah, any shop that's using a computerized point of sale or estimating software, there's going to be a record of the work that was done and saved. If your shop's not using that, maybe suggest that they can make it a little easier for everybody to have, you know, the history of the vehicle, because people will ask often, like, you know, I'm going to buy a used vehicle. We'll say, well, do they have their records, or can they get the records or have access to them? Because it's just nice to know that they did maintain the vehicle. Some of those mileage intervals, services were done, because all that little stuff really starts to affect the car as it ages. And if you're buying somebody's used vehicle, you want to know that it was maintained and taken care of as you would yourself.
Final question. You mentioned, meaning you, Texas says, that you change the oil in your pickup at 5,000 miles. Should synthetic oil should ever be changed before that? It comes from Dan.
I do change mine at 5,000 miles. I think if you're in a situation where you're towing a lot or plowing a lot, if you're really working the truck, I think you could go a little bit earlier if you'd like. You know, I mean, it's amazing what these vehicles cost now. So, you know, if you happen to, you know, say, boy, this last winter, it snowed a lot. I was plowing, and it seemed like every day. I would myself would probably do it sooner, just, you know, for peace of mind. You know, it's one oil change. It's not going to break the bank. And, you know, to maintain the vehicle, I think 5,000 miles is the right interval. I know there's a lot of information saying longer, and you have your own opinion, your own preference, and that's fine. I based mine off of our experience and having done this my whole adult life that we see a lot of mechanical stuff related to lack of oil change maintenance, and not just changing it, but a good quality product too, as we talked on earlier. A good quality oil and filter is really important. So if you see the really low buck stuff, I think I would maybe pause and maybe spend an extra couple dollars to get something that was designed for your vehicle.
Nick, again, for those folks that need some help from Lloyd's Automotive, how do we locate you guys?
Yes, sir. As you know, Denny, we're at the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. That's 982 Grand in St. Paul. If you have a question, need some advice, don't hesitate to call. You can reach us at 651-228-1316. And finally, please do check out our website. And that's lloydsautomotive.net.
We'll do that. Nick, Happy New Year to you and the crew at Lloyd's. And let's talk 1 week from today.
I'll talk to you in the new year.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive.